Good morning, 740 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's great to have you with us. Joining us by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, Mayor of the City of Pensacola, fresh off of his trip to the, I forget if it's the Florida leadership or if it's a Council of Mayors. He's always going to these various things, and it's good for our community, I think. But, Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Yeah, Andrew, thanks for having me.
What were you at last week?
I was at Leadership Florida, our final meeting of the
Leadership Florida
year, so down in Miami, and then annual meeting in June, and all done with it. But yeah, great experience. And as a matter of fact, one of the things I announced yesterday was an economic grant through the National League of Cities. I didn't even know about it until I went to the Leadership Florida meeting in Jacksonville, and then we went from not knowing anything about it to winning it. So, but to your point, you know, sometimes it's nice to get out there and see best practices and what's going on, and now it has a positive financial impact to the city too.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of you know, diverse sources of information, let alone for, you know, making associations and getting actual, you know, opportunities, because it's funny when you're trying to solve problems and then you're listening to a variety of inputs, you might get a solution in a place you didn't expect it. So I, you know, hanging out with or seeing different environments, I used to always problems I'd be working on at work, and then I'd go to hear a sermon, and I'm like, oh, well, that's not related, but it kind of is in my head, so let's fix it, you know? So I love that you go out and look at these things, and in this case, it turns out to be a grant. Speaking of that, I think one of the lesser appreciated stories of the last couple of weeks is this affordable housing grant that you got for working with the Navy base. I mean, it's only $600,000,
yeah,
but so maybe not big and decisive, but this could be the start of something big, and if it's going to affect affordable housing availability for members of the military, that's huge.
Yeah, and I look at our strategy, whether it's Baptist Hospital, whether it's grants like that, whether it's Malcolm Young property, the partnership that was the land trust on three scattered sites, all of those things, is we try to collect as many valuable chips as we can, that, because we all know that any level of affordability needs subsidy, right? We talk about that all the time. So how does the city build subsidy? Well, it's much, much harder to write a check out of the general fund or write a check out of. So what do? We start a grants office and see if we can get money there. We see what property we have, who are our partners, or we put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into a project like Baptist that will eventually be 38 acres of leverageable opportunity to create affordability in our city. So so we're always, you know, head on a swivel, always looking at what our opportunities are to create subsidy,
right,
which therefore allows to create affordability. Without subsidy, there is no such thing as affordable housing or an affordable housing initiative. So this is yet another example that we're excited about. It's a rare grant that doesn't have a million rules. That's what we like. We can put it into a project. We can buy property with it. And we've got a nice runway to make sure that we have time to make the right decision. So we're very, very excited about it.
Speaking of housing and a project that, you know, you and I have been talking about quite a bit, and of course, you know, even predates you coming into office, but still, the Baptist move has left that campus on the west side of the city of Pensacola vacant and now trying to figure out what to do with it. We finally have bids, we have numbers, we have a timeline. The question, there'd been a bid challenge, but that had to do with one company not having their proper, licensing, and so they were out, and now you're into a second round of negotiations. The question had been raised, why didn't you just go with the cheapest bid? And the answer here is, well, cheapest isn't always best, right?
Exactly. And as I said in my press conference yesterday, I would be very disappointed in my staff if all they ever brought me would be dozens of procurements that we've had since I've been mayor. And they just said, well, Mayor, our work is done here. We had the cheapest. Here's the cheapest number, and that's it. Now, sometimes that does make sense. If the rules of engagement are very basic, if it's, cutting the grass in this particular park, and it's very clear what the rules are, and every bid has a certain level of credibility, then fine. But a $17 million demolition project that has to not only knock a hospital down, it has to remediate asbestos and other toxins. It's got to drive dozens of trucks a day up and down neighborhood roads. It's got several other complex factors involved in this that have less to do with price. And that doesn't even approach the subject of, is it cheaper? It's cheaper on paper. And what it tells me is, if we were to be that simple-minded about it, then the smart thing for every firm to do is to just give us the lowest possible price they can put on paper, and then they can just value add everything against us.
They can change order you to death later, right?
exactly. That's what the low, if you actually read the information, which I strongly suggest everybody commenting on it does, then the lowest bid at $10.5 million gives zero contingency, unlike the higher bids, for certain remediation that we know is there. So are we saying it's more fiscally responsible to sign up for an open-ended blank check as it pertains to remediation? Of course not. And so you really have to look at – you have to take apples and oranges, and that's why we have a great staff and a great team that puts this together. And second to that is the conversation about the county and the $2 million from the county. Whether we had gone with number one that, as you just accurately said, was disqualified, there was a new state license that just came into play last year that they did not have. But if they if regardless of if 14.41 or 13.3 million won, in either case, as it pertains to the county, that still puts us over the 15.9 once you add contingency and once you add an owner's rep, which are just mandatory for this project to work. So the argument that, well, we should pick one cheaper, well, that's a moot point. The only variable there is whether how much money the mayor and the city has to go find in addition to the 15.9 that's been discussed. So, you know, we all want to do what's best for our with tax dollars. What we all want to do, stretch everybody's dollar as long as possible. But sometimes doing that also means selecting on its face the higher quality bid that's thought through all of the problems and all that to ensure that we protect the taxpayer dollar.
Right.
And so,
the shoes that are half the price but last a third as long are not actually cheaper in the long run, right? That's the problem. This part of the issue, and you made me think about this. I'd never thought about it quite this way, but, you know, we know that going with the lowest bidder cost us all kinds of problems when it came to the sailfish sign replacement. Lowest bidder isn't always best. People say Skanska, right, you know, going with the lowest bidder on the bridge cost us problems. But in a way I'd never thought of before that, you know, who knows, but that maybe their decision not to, you know, move the barges out of the way was borne by the fact that they had made a similar decision recently and just didn't want to incur the cost because they were starting to run up against their margins. Like, that's one of the problems with going with the lowest bidder is you create weird incentives for people to do the wrong thing sometimes, and all of that has to be taken into account. I did want to ask you a question, though, just because it had come up.
Yeah.
The issue of concrete crushing on-site versus at a remote location, it will not be happening on site at Baptist. Is that your goal?
Absolutely. Now, Okay. Now the original winning bidder, Sessler, had already priced that. And so yet again, another example of, yes, that their price may have been a little higher, but there were apples and there were oranges.
Yeah.
And so I certainly expect in my negotiation with North Star, and I don't think we'll be a surprise to them, that that's what we're going to be looking to do. And whether that can be folded into the costs or not. But I think that's a vital, vital piece of this because this is going to be a long project, and we have to respect the neighbors as best that we can. So sometimes when you think that just pick the cheapest means we crush rock 24 hours a day, for example, on site, would that be better for our community? Those are the things that we're absolutely going to be prioritizing. I can't say where that's going to go. Because, you know, we'll have to negotiate through with that. But that is absolutely my intention right now, is to be able to crush that offsite and then have it trucked offsite, and then crushed offsite.
And by the way, this is a small note, but I actually appreciate in the meeting on Thursday night when you and Erica Garancagnolo both kind of were reluctant to say things that you could have said to satisfy the, you know, transparency question, but would have actually adversely affected your ability to negotiate and make decisions. So, you know, I always like it when people take the harder road, even though it makes them maybe look bad, because I don't think it makes you look bad. I think it makes you look smart. So I actually appreciate that. A related question, just because I know the funding for a lot of the demolition at Baptist is coming from the state, and, you know, you're having to make progress in order to show good faith that you deserve to keep that money. When we had Alex Andrade on the show on Friday, I had asked him the question of, does all the bickering, fighting, disagreement, whatever, between him and the governor or Michelle Salzman and the governor, does that jeopardize any of the funding proposals that he's trying to get for our area? And he said he absolutely believes the governor is going to veto his funding request for this area. The question is then whether the House and the Senate are going to override those vetoes. Are you worried about any of that, either with the Baptist funding, which has already been promised, or with ongoing projects that the city's looking to benefit from the state with? Is that an issue for you right now?
I think a big part of this job and Representative Andrade's job and all of ours is to be reading tea leaves, right? Of like, you know, what happens, you know, we pull this lever and then what happens and what the consequences are, and at least whether we like them or not, you know, being mindful of those. So certainly, you know, we keep an eye on any of those types of things at the state level, at the federal level. You know, I think it's important to point out what gets lost in the negotiating through the media phase of this between Commissioner Kohler and myself about what we should do with the bid at Baptist. More so, I think on the state side, what I believe was important was that we have a donation agreement that is agreed upon and I believe signed by Baptist waiting on us right now that's ready to go, which means we are committed to this project.
Right.
And I know that was really the important barometer from the state perspective. Not that they don't want it to see it all the way done, and certainly we do too. We're all motivated for that. You know, what's getting lost in this is we do have an agreement. We are committed to this project. What is now taking the headlines is 2 million of the 7 or 16 million, and really over 20 if you include our grant funding, that's already committed to this. So this is a very small sliver in the grand scheme of things. But it's just the final step to be able to get it done. So, of course, we're mindful of those things. You know, I don't believe any of our state funding requests got through anyway. I guess, you know, we don't have as much to worry about from that perspective this session.
When you get told no in the first place, you don't have to worry about losing it. I guess that's, you know,
yeah,
that's unfortunately.
So, yeah, so we don't have as much to worry about this session. And, you know, obviously, Senator Brockton, everybody was great to us the last couple of years. That happens sometimes. And, you know, I would sure, you know, Representative Andrade could speak better to this than me, but I certainly would expect next year is not going to be any more friendly up there in Tallahassee, it doesn't feel like. So obviously we're looking at this as a multi-year,
sure,
you know, kind of situation, whatever, for better or for worse. So yeah, we just do what we can and offer what we can and, you know, try to build relationships hang on tight, I guess.
You know, one of the things that we're not going to have too much time to talk about it, but I just didn't want to give you kudos. I had said, you know, seeking out ECUA as helping you with the connectivity on the Portland Luz to save money for everybody, great. Bringing a restroom facility to Veterans Memorial Park, which seems like it's on the cusp of actually happening finally, unrelated to the other project. Great. I mean, these are good things that are happening. The Sun Trail, you know, having a, you know, multi-use path basically eventually going to connect Bayou Chico all the way to the Chappie James Bridge. I mean, great. Like, these are all, there's some really, really good things going on. And sometimes it gets lost a little bit in the, you know, the conversation about this or that sort of controversial issue. So, you know, I just wanted to give you a little bit of credit for some of that because it's, you know, things seem to be progressing. We always like to end with a little bit of a lightning round, quick questions. So first question for DC Reeves. Do you set any of your clocks fast? If so, by how much?
I used to, trying to get up for school, but no, I don't, man. I'm, you know, I try to be as accurate as possible as the mayor of your city, so I stick them exactly right where they should be. And, you know, Apple iPhones has changed that the game for us, you know, more than when we were growing up, you know.
Do you, when you fill the dishwasher, well, do you do the dishwasher or does your girlfriend do the dishwasher? Because it's not fair to ask you if she does the work.
Well, if she's listening, she does it all the time. If she's not, then it's about 50-50.
Okay. When you're filling cups into the top level, do the cups go between the pegs or on the pegs?
Depends on if they're plastic or glass, Andrew. I'm going to say
so wishy-washy.
I used to put them on. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yeah, good one. I would say I used to be back in my younger, more immature days. I used to put them on the peg, and now I've put them between, if it's appropriate.
Okay, so you've matured. I appreciate that. And then the last question, and I'm actually really curious about this because you use your cell phone a lot. Does your cell phone ever die? And at what point are you actually worried about battery life for your cell phone? Like, what's the number where you start to get a little concerned?
It depends on how my day went. If it was a long day, then I just let it die. I probably about when I get under 5%, then I feel like I've got to take action.
Wow. So that's a very low threat. Yeah. I mean, that's it. Like you'd let it go a long way before you're really worried.
Yeah, but, you know, I carry, you know, especially since this job started, I carry those chargers everywhere, the portable ones. I mean, okay. It's hard for me to not, back myself into a charger somewhere. So, again, as your mayor, I try to be online for you as much as possible. I can't think of I haven't had a bad scenario lately where I've, lost all the juice.
All right. Your fanny pack is full of charging ports. All right. I appreciate that.
Right.
DC Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, always a pleasure, sir. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew.